Praise God. Well, we've been talking the last several weeks. We've been talking, we've been on a series we've called You Can Have What You Say. And, on Wednesdays, we teach and preach on faith and healing. And until or if or when we get a direction otherwise, we'll change that. But since we started Wednesday nights, 3.5 years ago, we've taught on faith and healing. And and we need that. We need to maintain our faith. You need to be built up in your faith. The Word, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. You can have faith in one area and be strong in one area and be weak in another area. It's what you feed, what you focus on. And that shouldn't come as a surprise to us. I mean, we see that in natural things. You can be really intelligent or really knowledgeable in a certain area and not knowledgeable at all, completely ignorant in a different area. But with spiritual things, what we focus on, the word that we look at, the word that we choose to listen to, that's going to affect us in a positive way. But you can have something. You can know it. You can believe. You can have strong faith in God and in a given area. And you can think, I'll never move away from this. I've crossed a line. I see something. I'll never back down from this. I'll never lose this. Has anybody ever felt that way? You heard, you have a revelation, you say, I see it. Nobody could ever take this from me. I have it now. Has anybody ever thought that? And you thought, I know that I've gotten pushed off before, but that will never happen again. I see it too clearly. You know what I'm talking about? I think all of us have been there. But if you look back and what happened after that, if you weren't careful to maintain it, if you weren't careful to feed it, it will drift. I don't care how powerful an experience you had, how strong the presence of God was, how clear the word, how clear the revelation was, how just you just saw it. Like you said, there's just no way I've come through. We have to maintain that. How many of you have found out in this life you have to maintain things? That's one of the lessons of growing up. You know, you can go out and buy new stuff. In this day and age, people buy a lot of new stuff. A lot of stuff just can't even be fixed. You know, there's cheap stuff they sell in stores now. It's not made to be fixed. It's made to be thrown away. It may look like the thing that's made to be fixed. It may have the same brand as the thing that used to be made to be fixed, but it's not the same thing anymore. It is made to be thrown away. And then the thing, you know, you look at tools and stuff. They take name brands that used to be the symbol of quality, and they've dumbed them down to where there's certain products that they'll sell with that name brand and that's junk. And now to buy the thing that actually was the thing that you used to buy for that name brand, now it's this much higher. But people go in and they go, I can get a deal. This thing is worth, you know, I can buy it at this price, a blanky, you know, whatever brand. You know what I'm talking about? But it's junk. It's made to be thrown away. But we don't maintain things so often in this day and age. Just people just, well, I'll just go get a new one. Well, you know, you just can't go out and get a new body. You got to maintain the one you have. You know, you could go out and get a new spouse, but it pays to maintain the relationship that you have. It's just so much easier. And we could go on, you know, your clothes, your house. You know, you have to maintain your car. Boy, it looks shiny coming off the lot, but got that tire shine on it. I got the new car smell. Everything's clean, but it doesn't stay that way. You go through a winter, doesn't look like it did when it came off the lot. We got to maintain stuff. Well, spiritually, it's the same thing. You can know something. You could have known it clearly, but if we don't feed ourselves in that area, your faith could be strong in God in general, but faith is the same in every area. And if you're not, you could be strong in finances, but completely weak for healing. Did you know that? It's what you feed on. And so we have to maintain that. We have to maintain faith in God, faith toward His Word, things that maybe we've heard before. We need to keep it fresh. We need to keep it built up. I just encourage you to things that have meant a lot to you. Specifically, because we live in a mortal body, we live in a natural body. I would encourage you to consistently feed on healing scriptures, not scriptures that regarding healing and faith, not as a ritual, not as a legalistic, checkbox that you're going down saying, "Well, I got to do this or I'm going to get sick. I got to go down these 3 pages of notes or I'm going to get sick." It's not like that. It's I want to build my faith. You could just get stuck on one scripture and do that for 3 days if that's what God's ministering to you. But I encourage you, go and feed on scriptures that would encourage your faith. Look at them. Again, because you can think, "Well, I'm built up enough." But we leak our faith. We're surrounded by doubt and unbelief in this world. So we have to build ourselves up. We have to keep centered on what God has said. So Mark 11:22, and the main scripture that we're on this time around, Mark 11:22, let's go ahead and turn there. It's on your sheet as well. Thank the Lord. Mark 11:22. Verse 22 says, "So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says.'" I want to read verse 24. "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." So verse 23, we focused on this concept, this truth. It says, Jesus is saying, "For assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says." Now, this is Jesus speaking. Verse 24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Now, we've been focusing on that you can have what you say. Speaking the word, declaring the word in our lives is a way to receive from God, and you are taking your authority and declaring legally what you want to come to pass, what your rights and privileges are through Jesus and declaring them in your life. That's not the only way to receive things from God, but it is important. Because as you see in the next verse, it says, verse 24 says, "Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." You can receive by saying, you can receive by praying to receive. God is not limited, but what you say is a... it's like a thermometer. It's an indication of what is going on the inside of us. You can locate a person by their words. Because sooner or later, what you really believe is going to come out your mouth. Any person's mouth. It will. And what we say, if we say we're in faith, but we're constantly talking doubt and discouragement, we're not in faith. There's a problem. It's not just trying to correct your words in a vacuum. I said this a few weeks ago. If you're always struggling to say the right words, you're always having to catch yourself, then you should look back upstream. It's not just about what you say. The Bible doesn't say you'll just have what you say. The Bible says you'll have what you say when you believe in your heart. So if you're just saying empty words, they don't have any punch behind them. They don't have any spiritual oomph behind them. That's where people get off. They think, "Well, I'm just going to say it. It's like a magic wand. I'm just going to say the magic words and it'll work." It doesn't work like that. You have to believe God, and then you release your faith by saying. That's a way to release your faith. But you can receive from God. You can act on the word and just get up and start believing it. But saying is a vital way of of bringing what God has provided into this earth. And if our words contradict what we say we believe all the time, we're going to have trouble. You cannot constantly speak negativity into your life in various areas and expect to prosper. It won't happen. Your words will catch up with you because you're constantly declaring things and then you're hearing that bad report all the time. And so it will catch up with us. Let's look at our sheet to review a little bit. Romans 10, 8 through 10. We spent just some time on these two verses last week. It says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. Notice, the word is in two places. Where? In your mouth and in your heart. Not just in your mouth, not just in your heart. It's in your heart, but it comes out your mouth. The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And we spent a good amount of time on this last week. If you weren't here, you can go back and listen to the recording. But this is telling us how to get saved here. You know, the Bible talks about being saved in a lot of areas, but it doesn't. This is telling you specifically what to do. It's saying that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, didn't say believe in your head, doesn't mean you have to understand everything about the resurrection and how it happened and exactly what that means and be able to explain it to somebody. It's going to take faith. We have to at some point take God at his word and say, the word says it, I believe it, that settles it. But what about this and this and this? At some point, we're going to have to step off and say, I believe God. It doesn't say you have to understand it in your head. It doesn't say believe in your head. That's where people get hindered, is because they'll have doubts in their head and they think they can't believe because a doubt came across your head. You can have doubts in your head and faith in your heart, and it will still work. In fact, in the face of doubt, you can just buckle down and say, I still believe. And there's doubt just hammering your head. And say, well, what about this? What about this? It's not going to work. You see this. There's something, there's a symptom right in your face. There's a situation. And you can look at that and your head saying, I don't understand it. But your heart, if your heart is built up and you have faith in your heart, you can push through and say, nevertheless, let it be according to your word, Lord, and move forward, and you can see the results. It doesn't say in your head. It says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It doesn't say you might be. It doesn't say if it's a good day. It doesn't say if the sun is shining. It says you will be saved. If you believe in your heart, confess it with your mouth, you will be. And we need to be that confident with anything in the Word of God. If God's Word promised it, if we see it, when we understand it, when faith is there. So many times we say, well, I just don't feel like I'm not ready. Well, you want to make sure that's not just a feeling. If faith isn't quickened, then look at the Word and build yourself up with the Word. But at some point, faith is there, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and at some point you have an opportunity to release faith. But sometimes we're just in unbelief and we're just waiting to feel like this is the moment. Now I really feel like it's going to work. So many times you try to act like on that. When the emotion's gone, you think, I don't know. I don't know if what I said I believed really happened, because now the emotion's gone. You don't go by emotion. You go by what God said. If we'll get just as convinced with whatever he said, as it says here, specifically talking about Jesus and being saved, if we will get just as convinced that Christians are convinced that if they share Jesus with somebody, if that person will just believe on Jesus, doesn't matter what kind of day they had, doesn't matter the color of their skin, doesn't matter their parents, but if you can get them to receive Jesus and act on that act on the word, that he died for them, that he rose from the dead, that they will be saved. People, Christians don't flinch about it. They're not in doubt about it. They're not hem-hawing about it. They say, all you have to do is you receive him and you will be saved, period. Really, that's all I have to do? Yes, that's all you have to do. But then we get off into healing and relationships, finances, job, different things, and we can see the word, but when I pray, I'm just not quite sure. I'm not quite sure that it'll happen. Why? Maybe we've seen something that didn't happen. Maybe we've experienced it. Well, but I prayed this time. Do you know how many people? I don't know how many either, but you've heard stories of people. I prayed for mommy. She was hurting, and she was sick, and I prayed for her when I was 6 years old and said, please, God, heal her, and nothing happened. So I don't believe God anymore. It's God's fault. But people go away. Now, that's like the extreme, but any variation of that, maybe you had something that didn't happen the way you thought it did, so that's what puts doubt into our mind. So, but when was the last time you heard of somebody that called out on the name of Jesus to be saved and they weren't saved? Number one, you can't see it. So you don't have to deal with some of that doubt in your head. But when you deal with things in the Word, you see they're true, but sometimes it's just that doubt is trying to pound on your head and you can see it, you want to take it, but what if it doesn't work? And so we're not this confident. But if we'll get to where, look, I believe what God said. He said if I say to the mountain, it will go, it will go. And I believe it in my heart. Then it will go. Verse 10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that's the same with any area. Confession, it can be. I'm not saying it's the only way to receive from God, but just like you were saved, you can speak to something, and it can be unto something else. You can confess unto healing. You can confess unto prosperity. What are you doing? You're taking what the Word of God says and you're releasing it in your life and decreeing, I agree with God Almighty. It shall be in my life. And when we're doing that, we are aligning with the way God works himself. Now look on your, let's actually turn over there, Romans 4:16. Romans 4:16. God himself operates this way. We are his children. We're made in his likeness, in his image. And we ought to behave like him. Romans 4:16 says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise, talking about Abraham, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed. God. Now notice this. God. It's talking about an attribute of God. In the presence of him whom he believed, whom Abraham believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. God does this. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Keep reading. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed. So contrary to expectation, in expectation, he believed. Contrary to what would be expected normally, he expected anyway what God said. So Abraham, you know the story. Abram was childless with Sarah. They didn't have a kid when they were young, let alone when they were old. But here they are old, and they don't have a child, and God said, I am going to make you a father of many nations. He changed his name to Abraham, which means that. And God called him that before he had children. He said, I have made you a father of many nations. But you can't see it. But it's not there. And the Bible says that Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That's in verse 22. But he believed God. If he hadn't believed God, we would not be reading about Abraham. Abraham, in turn, believed what God had said. But the Bible says, what I want to get over to you is God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. We'll read the rest of it. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believes so that he became the father of many nations, according to what? What was spoken? So shall your descendants be. And not weak, being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness, because he believed God, because he acted on what God had said. But I want you to notice God himself. The Bible says that he calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Turn over to Hebrews 11, verse 3. Hebrews 11, verse 3. Hebrews 11, verse 3. Everybody there? Now let's just read verse 1, too. It says, now this is the substance of things hoped for. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen, were not made of things which are visible. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed, were made by the word of God. So that the things, we touched on this last week, so that the things which are seen are not, or were not made of things which are visible. We weren't turning to this verse last week, but we talked about it. That the things that we see here, this chair, this building, the materials that these were made with, these are real. They're natural. They're physical. We can see them with our natural eyes because they reflect light. That's why you can see anything. If there's no light, you can't see. But there is something more real that you can't see, that all this stuff was made from, and that's the spiritual realm. You say, well, I can't see it. That's because it doesn't reflect light, but it's here. It's in this room. There are angels in this room. Your spirit's in this room. Well, I can't see it. So what? There's all kinds of things you can't see. You can't see radio waves either, but they're here. They're in this room right now. But it's more real. But how was that? How did that come into being? God said it. God framed this world with his words. You say, well, that's God. Yeah, but what's the verse we started out with? Jesus said, if you say to the mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, whatever you say will be done for you. So it's not just God. He gave us the ability to speak on this earth and to declare, and it is a legal thing. We all know that words are very powerful, just even in the natural realm. You ever heard anything you say can and will be used against you? But it's just words. No? Well, I was just talking, yeah? And we were listening. And according to what you said, you're in trouble. Well, I was just, I was just saying stuff. Well, yeah, you just said stuff. When you go down the aisle to get married, you say something at the altar. Do you take this lovely woman to be your lawfully wedded wife? I do. Something happens right then. Right? Well, those are just words, binding words. You see, in a court of law, do you swear to tell the whole truth? Truth, whole truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. Well, I misspoke. Well, words have consequences. Right? When we start letting junk come out of our mouth, you're under duress and you're under pressure. And that comes to all of us. Note how the words, there's a pressure for negative words to come out of your mouth. Well, that's just the way the human body's made. There is a spiritual realm too. And not every thought that crosses your mind is just generated by your gray matter. There is a spiritual realm. And that can put pressure on you. But notice how oftentimes there's words about, I can't do this. I just don't like this anymore. I don't like you anymore. When am I going to see God do this? What do you say? You're saying things that can bind. But the same thing, our words can set free. God Himself set this universe into motion by His words. The Bible says, the worlds were framed by the word of God. These things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Spirit. Turn over to Genesis 1, verse 1. We're not intending to do a whole Bible study here of this. These are just some scriptures that we're hitting on to encourage our faith along these lines. Genesis 1:1. We can't understand the Word of God with our head. We have to come to it with our heart. The Word of God is spiritual, and the spiritual man will discern it. These things are discerned spiritually. Men try to understand the Word with their mind, and that's where they get in trouble. Didn't say turn your brain off, but we have to get past what our limited intellectual faculties can grasp. Because none of us can grasp the Almighty and His greatness and His vastness and who He is and the way things are. We're going to discover as we go on, as we know more and more, that everything God said in His Word makes complete and perfect sense and is completely logical. Somebody said, one of my instructors, he said, from God, you have to understand when something looks illogical to you and God's telling you to do something and it looks illogical, it's only because of your limited perspective. You don't understand everything. You don't see the way He sees. So it looks like, what? You want me to go over here and do that, but I don't see this and how? But if you saw the way He sees and you saw through time, and you saw the resources and all everything, you would say, well, of course. Exactly. That is the most logical thing to do. Of course, there's this here, this here. This is about to happen. This is going to move over here. So absolutely, That's exactly what I ought to do. But from your limited perspective, you say, connect A with B, and how does that? I don't understand. But God, He understands everything. And He understands some things we don't. So as we go, this is just getting bigger in me. If we'll take the Word at face value and act on it, we will see breakthrough in our lives because we are stopping so many times. Well, I just don't know. The devil will keep you on the edge of believing God your whole life. Not quite there. When we don't have forever, at some point we need to just act on the Word. Take God at His word. Verse Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." So notice, it was like there was this calm. The Spirit of the living God, the power of God, was hovering over the waters, ready to do what God would say. Ready to do the command of the Lord. He is God, but He's the power house of the Godhead. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was. Hallelujah. There was light. And then if you read down through Genesis, it says, "And God said," "and God said," "and God said," and stuff happened. Hallelujah. Oh, there's so much here. We're wrapping up here. We just need to find a place to unhook. Well, let's wind this up. Let's look at a few scriptures on. We're just going to have to pick it up next time. The 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, 'I believed and therefore I spoke,' we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that He who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you." It says, "And we, since we have the same spirit of faith." Look at Romans 8:11. "If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you." What Spirit was that? It was the same Spirit that was on the face of the waters when God said, "Let there be light." That same Spirit, if we're a born-again Christian, dwells on the inside of us. And if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues, you have a separate experience with the Holy Spirit dwells in you to endue you with power for service here on the earth. But it said, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." So the Spirit of the living God, who was there at creation, was there that raised Jesus from the dead, is on the inside of us, and He is waiting for us to speak just the same way, to make it come to pass. That same Spirit resides on the inside of us. Jesus said, "You speak, and it will happen." That power of God is resident to make it happen. Amen. Hallelujah.